He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It's the Monday morning live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour on this February the 1st. Where did January go? It is gone. It is February. 1 month down, 11 to go, and we've got, it's fading a bit, but we do have some green on the screen here today. This is Bill Gunderson. The Dow is up 122 right now. That puts it back above 30,000. It did close below 30,000 last week. It also closed a little bit below its 50-day moving average last week, which is a yellow flag going up. The Dow right now sits at 30,104. The NASDAQ, which was up 185 just a moment ago, is now up 125. We're up just about 1%, 0.9% there. We've got the NASDAQ at 13,191. But if you remember, the high on the NASDAQ was 13,000, I think 616, something like that. So we've come off quite a bit on the NASDAQ last week. Yeah, the all-time high on the NASDAQ was 13,636. So we're off about 500 points now on the NASDAQ from that all-time high. What else do we have here? We've got something going on in silver. I kind of warned about that last week. I saw some unusual activity. Crude oil is up 21 cents, 52.41. The small caps are up 0.5%. Not much there. Silver up 10% this morning, $2.75 to $29.66. Apparently, the Reddit gang is ganging up on silver now. Gold is up $17.50, and the 10-year is at 1.07%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, last week was a wild, wild, wild west week in the market, and we'll see what this week brings. Hopefully a little bit calmer action. We're going to have over 120 S&P 500 companies report earnings this week. How is earnings season going so far? Well, I'll give you an update here. You might be surprised in a little bit. I noticed over the weekend, Mark Cuban sent out a tweet. He said, who do you listen to? He just put out a blanket question, who do you listen to in the stock market for stock market advice? And several people replied, Bill Gunderson. Well, I was happy for that. Maybe Mark Cuban will start listening in. Mark, if you're listening in, we try to make people money here the best we can and show you what is really going on in the market. And a lot of times, you know, what's going on in the market is underneath the surface. That requires a deep dive underneath the market on a daily basis. So I've always likened myself to a fishing guide who's on the water every single day with my Polaroid glasses on, making observations. And when I see things that make my eyeballs pop out, I send out a little notification, a tweet. And I also, anytime I make a buy or sell in any of my five portfolios, I let my subscribers know exactly what I am doing. Now, back on January the 29th, that was last Friday, I guess, maybe Thursday, I noticed something very unusual going on in silver, SLV. You know, one of the screens I look at every day, my Best Stocks Now app has we're moving towards 6,000 total stocks in the app, total securities, because there are ETFs and mutual funds. I think we're at 5,622 right now. But one of those securities in there is SLV, which is a silver ETF. And one of the screens I look at every day is securities that made the biggest move in rank on a daily basis. And I'm going to be adding a lot of screens for you this year in the next few months to the app. I've been saying that for a long time. I finally found the guy that I think can do it. So things like which stocks made the biggest jump in rank, which stocks are up the most over the last 30 days, which stocks are up the most over the last 90 days, which stocks have the cheapest pay ratios. So a lot of screens. I've got a whole list of them here, and we've already started work on it. That'll start showing up here pretty soon in the Apple version of the app. We're working to get the Android version back up. We had nothing but issues trying to work with Google. It's almost impossible. Probably the worst company I've ever worked with outside of Wells Fargo and a few others that I could, you know. But anyways, we're getting that. So anyways, I was looking at my screens last week, and I said, wow, look at the giant move in rank upwards in silver. And, of course, we had that Reddit mania going on. And in my head, I said, I'll bet the Reddit gang is ganging up on silver. I still remember the days when the Hunt brothers teamed up and cornered the market on silver, and the silver went sky high, you know. I think it went up to 65. I want to say $65 per ounce, something like that. And I actually sent out a little alert to my subscribers last week. I said, there's something weird going on in silver. And kind of said, I wonder if the Reddit gang is up to it again or something to that effect. And then I reminded them of the Hunt brothers who ganged up on silver back in the 70s, late 60s, mid 70s, something like that. That's my memory bank. Well, we had the worst week in 3 months. Sorry to remind you, last week. This is a new week. We're giving up our gains quickly here. The Dow's up just 55 right now. The NASDAQ's holding on to a 120-point gain, however. And, you know, a lot of that worst week in 3 months, it was not just the Reddit gang. Yes, that spooked the market. It makes people nervous when they see unruly action like that and not being reined in and, you know, people getting hurt badly, mostly hedge funds, who most of us could care less about what happens to them. But when they put the clamps on the people that were short, the little guys that were buying the stock, actually, and needed to sell their positions or whatnot, that created some anxiety, some angst in the market. But I've been saying for several months now, maybe the last 2 months, let's say, the market has a valuation problem. And it continues to have a big valuation problem. You know, eventually, the market comes back to valuation. It always does. You know, I remember in 1999 and the year 2000, it was like, well, it's a new paradigm. I'm sure Mark Cuban would remember those days because he had a dot-com company that he took public. He was one of the smart ones. He sold out at or near the top. I want to say it was broadcast.com, something like that, where online radio, which was kind of revolutionary back then. Now it's just a regular old thing. But that NASDAQ in March of 2000 was at over 5,000. Well, it took 17 years to get back to where it was because the valuation was so excessive. Now, we're not at that kind of valuation today. But having said that, you know, I think the S&P 500 Friday, right around 22 times forward earnings. What's the 5-year average? 17.6. What's the 10-year average? More in the 16 area. Why are we currently at 22? Well, you can thank the Fed for that, Jerome Powell and the Fed. Goosing. Lots of things, keeping interest rates artificially low, buying back bonds. Lots of different things. And that has made the stock market the investment of choice right now because interest rates are so dang low. Well, I said a couple weeks ago, you know, interest rates are starting to trickle back up here. If you look at a chart, I put a chart of interest rates. I do that every week in my newsletter. You're going to notice a big uptrend in interest rates. It's a steady uptrend. And that may cause an inflection point here in the market where, you know, the valuation is definitely not going to expand anymore. The forward P.E. ratio is not going to expand anymore because now you've got interest rates starting to drift higher. So we'll see. And then we worry about what's going to happen in fiscal policy, taxes going forward. What will that do to S&P 500 earnings? A lot to talk about today. This is Gunderson. This is Monday. This is February. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio. We want to welcome in Mark Cuban. If he's listening, I don't know if he is, but a lot of people responded to Mark Cuban saying, I listen to Gunderson. That guy has been dead on for the last many years. Well, okay, let's take a look here. There, the two most important charts that I saw in the newsletter, you know, every week, I do a little section of the newsletter, and I update and give my commentary on the current charts. That's one aspect of what I do. Valuation, very important. Momentum and performance, very important. But a visual check. That's the first thing a doctor does when you walk in. They visually check you out. It's always bothersome when I see the doctor kind of, oh, yeah. When I walk in, what the heck? You're my doctor. You're supposed to give me good news, doc, not bad news. Don't shake your head like that. Anyways, the two charts that stood out to me, number one, the Dow. I truly believe, now I missed the Dow bottom by 4 days. I said on March 19th, I want to say, I was 4 days early. I'd rather be early than late. And that was the, I called it the Boeing bottom, and that was the bottom. And we've made a lot of money in the market since then. But I believe that the Dow has now topped out. You can draw a line right in that 31,000 area, and it's starting to turn into what I call a number three trend. That's a chart that's been going up and then finally levels off, number three, okay? One, two, three, four. At any given time, stocks, indexes are in one of four of those trends. A sideways trend, which is where you've been going down, 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 and then it starts to level off. That's what we had back in March of last year. Beautiful. Picture perfect. That was another reason that I was able to say, I think the Dow has bottomed here. That was like at 18,000. We're now at 31,000, okay? We've been in a number two uptrend for the last 9 to 10 months. And now we're seeing that number three form. Now, from a number three topping out trend like we're in right now, leveling off. Let's not call it topping out. Leveling off is a better term. We can either break out to new all-time highs or we can roll over into a correction. I think rolling over into a correction is a much more likely scenario than breaking out to a new all-time high. Therefore, I would say that the Dow Jones Industrial Average has topped for now in the 31,000 area. Now, luckily, it's a market of stocks, not just a stock market. There are viable investments still. The market is rotating right now. It's rotating into sectors that haven't seen any action for quite some time. I would say the most notable sector where I'm seeing activity is in the commodity sector, which I haven't had any exposure to for a long time. You know, over the last couple of years, just buy the FANG stocks and forget about it. Big tech, mega caps. Well, that's not going to work this year. You've seen a complete sector rotation. I'm not saying there's still not good tech stocks to own out there, but you've seen some really bad charts start to develop in Facebook. Amazon's kind of just sideways right now. It's a different market. No 2 years are really the same. We've now got a rising interest rate environment. You can look at the chart of interest rates. That's the second most important trend I saw over the weekend. Why is that important, you say? Well, Bill, you know, we still got low interest rates. We're just dinking around 1.1% somewhere around there. Yes. But that's going to rein in this expansion in the multiple. And if the multiple can't expand in the market, in fact, if it starts to contract, that puts some risk out there in the market, okay? Valuation risk. So we're going to step pretty lightly here right now in the market. I have taken some big profits that we racked up since March of last year in a few stocks here and there. And I'm probably sitting on one of the bigger cash positions, definitely in the last 12 months. Right now, maybe it's 30%, somewhere in there, 35%. But I still remain 65% invested. Now, how is earnings season going? That's a clue going forward, obviously. Now, earnings season that we're in right now looks backwards. But from this earnings season that we're going through, we can make projections going forward, okay? And I would say that those projections are moving higher. But are they moving higher enough to be able to justify a 22 multiple on the market, forward PE? Oh, you know what? The market has a valuation problem. But so far, 30% of the companies in the S&P 500 have reported their earnings. We're going to get another, I think, 110 companies this week will report their earnings. 76% have beat their earnings estimates. That's a very high number. And another, 82% have beat their earnings. 76% have beat their revenues. And I've seen a major bump up in the expectations for the fourth quarter. We're now looking for about a 2.3% drop from the same quarter last year. Now, however, and here's where we complete the V recovery in earnings, which I predicted back in March of last year. If you don't believe me, go to Seeking Alpha and you'll see my article. Get ready for a V-shaped recovery in the economy and in earnings. In Q1, this is the quarter we're currently in, analysts are projecting earnings growth of 19.6% and revenue growth of 4.8%. We're returning to gains, growth again in earnings. Next quarter, analysts are projecting 49%. Of course, the comparable is really easy because we're talking about Q2, and that's the quarter where we had all the COVID back last year. That was the quarter we were basically shut down. So we're going to have a huge quarter in this next quarter. But having said that, much of that is already priced into the market. Now, if I look out there on the horizon at the consensus S&P 500 target price right now, I want to say it's right about $4,100. Let me look that up right here. Yeah, $4,100 is the consensus target price on the S&P 500. However, to achieve that, you've got to continue to produce these earnings. You can't have any stumbles. You can't have any more shutdowns due to COVID. Of course, that is still a risk. But even a bigger risk than that, I mean, Joe Biden ran on a platform of hiking tax rates, especially on corporations. And of course, that would have a big impact on the S&P 500 going forward. Which leads me to say, this is not a market that you want to be really aggressive in. I took a lot of profits last week. I'm stepping lightly, and I'm looking for new buys in new areas of the market. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter, second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, I'm just looking at some early action here in the market. It's pretty obvious where the Reddit gang has gone. That's all I have to do is bring up this screen right here. What do the following stocks have in common as I name the biggest movers today? ASM, which is Avino Silver and Gold Mine, it's up 55% today. Hecla Mining, heck, I've been watching that one for a long time over at Hecla. HL, it's up 35% here this morning. Golden Minerals, another silver stock, up 26%. Coeur d'Alene Mining, CDE, been around a long time, up 25% today. First Majestic Silver, Hi-Ho Silver away, it's up 24%. Endeavor Silver, EXK, up 23.6. You know, I know there's a silver ETF. I want to say it's, oh, there it is. It's AGQ. That's Ultra Silver, 2-to-1. AGQ is up 19.7% today. Fortuna, well, they're not mining for tuna. They're mining for silver. Fortuna Silver Mines, FSM, up 17%. And then I see the biggest down stocks today. It looks like they may be leaving. You've got Siebert Financial down 24%. That was one of the stocks they were in. Express, which is a woman's little mall-based retailer, it's down 19%. GameStop's down 17%. So they seem to be leaving one area and going to another area, like crickets eating crops. You know, they eat up and devour a crop, and then they move on to greener pastures and devour that crop. That seems to be what is going on in the market here. All right, well, let's see. We got a lot of individual stocks in the news here today. We got an economic report, PMI manufacturing, pretty good number, actually. January, U.S. PMI, Purchasing Managers Index, up 59.2. That beat the consensus. Little problem in Myanmar today. That's the former Cambodia. Military seizes power in a coup. Huh. We'll see how that turns out. NYU, New York University valuation expert says GameStop is worth $47 per share. I couldn't disagree more. I think GameStop's worth somewhere in the single digits. I don't know how he comes up with $47 per share, but he's an NYU finance professor, Aswath Dama. Darren, who is widely respected for his rigorous approach to valuation, I think he's way off. But he says it's worth $47. And, of course, they ran it up to, what, $500 a share or something like that? What is the true value of GameStop? In my book, it's under $10. All right, so you've got all of this. The crickets have moved to commodities, silver in particular. Melvin Capital lost 53% in January on bad trades like GameStop. They were also short Bed Bath & Beyond and National Beverage. You know, that was another one. There was a lot more than just GameStop. In fact, Robinhood now has a list of 50 stocks with restricted trading. Another one was Fizz, National Beverage. They make the carbonated water that was such a hot product there for a while. So it was not limited to just GameStop. Is there a case there for market manipulation? Well, the SEC is looking into it. You know, here's a bunch of investors that started hyping and teaming up, and they knew where the short interest was. In fact, GameStop had more shares short than it had in the float. That's a recipe for disaster. I read that there was 125% of the shares were short on GameStop, which looked like a disaster getting ready to happen. They took advantage of that, this gang on an online website called Reddit. I guess there's 2.3 million members of that gang. And you saw what happened. Hedge fund billionaire Steve Cohen shuts down his Twitter account. Threats on his life. Why? Because he stepped forward and helped out this hedge fund. Now, who's Steve Cohen? He owns the New York Mets, for one thing. Big, big investor on Wall Street. But he invested $2.8 billion in Melvin Capital. Now, why would that make the guys on Reddit mad? Well, because Melvin Capital might have had to fold their hand at that point in time. They got staying power. I mean, it's just a matter of time before this stock eventually crashes and tanks. And if they can ride it out, you know, if they can ride it out and ride it out at Melvin Capital eventually. But on the way up, they had to inject more capital to just stay alive. And that made the Reddit gang very angry at hedge fund billionaire. I'm sure Elizabeth Warren doesn't like him either. Steve Cohen, he shuts down his Twitter accounts after death threats. So, yeah, you've got a 50. You got a list of 50, and apparently people, investors, are fleeing Robinhood. I didn't know, does Square offer trading? It says here that they're fleeing Robinhood, and on the receiving end of most of these accounts, Square. Well, okay. We got another hot one here. Aemetis soars 22% on opening bid proposal access for $2.8 billion offtake agreement for carbon zero biofuels. Okay. I talked about this last week. I've watched, there's not a lot of biofuel stocks. This is making fuel from plants, basically, is what it usually comes down to. Ethanol, for instance, is a biofuel. It comes from corn or sugar cane. And there's other fuels that are coming from recycled French fry grease, you know, whatever, and all kinds of different things. Well, if any company gets into the biofuel industry, we had Boeing announce 2 weeks ago that they are going to make a plane that will fly on either regular old jet fuel, which is a petroleum product, or on biofuels. And it made me scratch my head and say, you know what? Farmland is pretty precious. We don't want to use up our farmland in growing fuel. We need fuel. People need fuel. Food, feeding the masses. So, you know what? That's something. I compared it to the guns and butter debate that always goes on, how much of your economy should go towards food and feeding the masses and how much should go towards defense and the military. It's called guns versus butter. Well, now you've got butter versus fuel, I guess, is the debate that goes on these days. Tata Motors, man, they're doing a good job. That thing is red hot. Tata is out of India. Look at that chart. That's a great chart. I mentioned General Motors last week. I said, you know, they're going all electric. Compare their P.E. ratio with that of Tesla. There's a huge disparity there. And I certainly think that GM has a bigger dealer network than Tesla. Tesla doesn't even have a dealer network. Anyways, I think GM is worth a long look right now. Tata, on the other hand, the stock is doing very, very well. They own Land Rover and Range Rover and Jaguar and other brands, and they're making a push into electric, and that stock is up 9% today. Their local sales up 28% year over year. How about the Chinese automakers? XPeng, XPEV. I own a couple of the Chinese auto electric makers. Electric car makers, EXPEV delivers 6,015 smart EVs in January. Now, here's the amazing part of that statistic, that number. That's a 470% increase year over year. XPeng, XPEV. How about NIO? NEO delivers 7,225 vehicles in January. That's an increase of 352% year over year. Well, GM would love to have comparable numbers like that. They're never going to have numbers like that. But NIO and XP are a couple rising stars in the EV space out of China. When we come back, Apple, Thermo Scientific, a few others, this is Bill Gunnarsson. It's the Best Dogs Now, Radio Log.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Dogs Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson. Okay, let's go. There's a lot that I could go with here. I wanted to mention Apple here. Loop Venture says Apple's strong earnings report is evidence of the accelerating digital transformation in the fact that the revenue upside was driven by nearly every one of the company's product categories. Apple did have a good earnings report, but having said that, I mean, look at how Apple responded after the earnings. That's what I always look at. I look at how did the stock respond? Well, you know what? It's been pretty tepid response, to be honest with you, since that earnings report earlier this week. Now, I continue to own Apple. I think most of the upside in Apple is going to come from the possible PE expansion. And I think you have that same possibility with GM. I mean, look at the PE ratio of these electric vehicle companies. There's only a few that are even profitable. Yes, they have enormous sales growth. But the only one that I know of that is profitable, obviously Tesla is profitable. Is Boyd profitable yet? BYDDF, it might be. Let's see. Yeah, Boyd is profitable. So there's only two that are profitable. But you've got these enormous PE ratios on these electric vehicle companies. And what did Apple say? Well, you know, there's going to be Apple cars running around at some point in time. And of course, GM said, we're getting into all electric. So by comparison, you've got a Tesla PE ratio of 356. Boyd's PE ratio is 381. Okay. Now you go to Apple's PE ratio, and it's 36. Okay. It's one-tenth. Of course, they do have other business besides just electric vehicles. GM, which is strictly cars and getting into the all-electric vehicle business, their P.E. ratio is 17. Now, you would think, you never know what the market's going to do, but you would think that some of this money or people looking to get into the electric vehicle investment space with their investment dollars would look to a GM, number one, or maybe a Tesla, not a Tesla, a Apple number two, just because their P.E. ratios are so much cheaper than Tesla's. All right. Featured stock of the day, I'm going to go with Data Nexus. I've done it before, DADA. It's out of China. Major player in the e-commerce business. You know, that business has cooled off a little bit. Obviously, you had a big boost in e-commerce during COVID when many of your big stores, box bricks and mortar stores, especially the little ones, were closed down completely. And you couldn't get flour or yeast at the local supermarket, and a lot of people turned to e-commerce. The e-commerce at Target, the e-commerce at Walmart, enormous growth in those companies. And of course, it has leveled off somewhat. I don't think you're going to see the year this year for these COVID-related stocks that you saw last year. You had huge quarters. I'm talking companies like Zoom, CrowdStrike, Amazon. Walmart had some huge quarters. Target had some huge quarters. Lowe's had some huge quarters. Home Depot had some huge quarters. Why? Because they were on the right side of the street during COVID. What was on the other side of the street? The cruise lines, the hotels, the restaurants, the travel companies, right? Well, it would seem, you know, now we've got four vaccines. We're doing 1.2 million vaccinations a day, and it is ramping up. It is going higher. I finally saw where I can get a vaccine in my neighborhood for the first time. Not that I'm anxious to run out and get it, but it's available at least. That's the first signs I've seen in our neck of the woods. So anyways, DataNexus is kind of a picks and shovel company. They help with the Walmart's online commerce. And, of course, Walmart is trying to compete with Amazon. So DataNexus, we've written up an article about it on Seeking Alpha. You can read it. We own Data, DADA, in our Ultra Growth portfolio. It's aggressive, but it is a large cap stock. Data is currently a $10 billion company, $10 billion company. And I would just finish by saying the other strongest area of the market today besides silver is China. You know, the Chinese stocks, they don't have to worry about fiscal policy and a new administration coming in and new regulations. Oh, every once in a while they pick on one company like they did with Alibaba and the Ant Financial. If one of those CEOs speaks out against the Communist Chinese Party. But there's a lot of good stocks, a lot of big ones, and they're growing a lot faster than many of our companies here in America. So there is opportunity there, and that's a good part of the market, I think, in 2021, one of the things that should work. So we'll make DADA our featured stock of the day. You know, we were inundated last week. We're always inundated. I think I'm inundated every day here in my office by all kinds of incoming. But I work in a very quiet environment when I'm managing the money, which I'll start doing here in another 3 minutes or so. If you'd like to put us to work for you, why not give us a call? Gunderson Capital, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or check out the newsletter that I put my heart and soul into every week, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.